The White Noise Podcast is an independent production. If we offend you, or if you don't like what we have to say, just remember that aside from the name that we borrowed, we have no affiliation with Gizmodo or Gawker Media. Thanks for checking us out, and don't forget to subscribe.
What you are about to hear is real. It has not been edited or enhanced.
Welcome. You've got
White Noise.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 9 of the White Noise Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Kellis, and we have a great show tonight regarding technology, gadgets, industry gossip, and pretty much any random thoughts that come to our minds. We have a good lineup of guests tonight, starting off with Vito number 9.
War Eagle, baby!
Mike Zuniga is also joining us.
Men should be what they seem, or those that be not, what they might seem none.
Okay. Gonzo Rider is also here.
Woo pick sewer!
Penguin.
Let's make sweet podcasting love.
And Bazooka Fox.
I don't have a nice quote.
Okay.
You don't have Shakespeare memorized, so it's your fault.
Shakespeare sucks ass.
Yeah, that's why I can get laid.
Pros before hoes, man.
Apologize to us all for not being a tool, Bazooka Fox.
Okay. Anyway, are we doing a podcast?
Yes, moving on to actual content. Thank you all for coming tonight and joining us on episode 9. We are excited that we're almost at a 10 episode anniversary. Woohoo!
Yay!
We'll save that for next week. But I want to start out tonight with the sort of WTF news of the week, which is Facebook is being sued by this company that said they patented privacy controls. So pretty much,
well,
Facebook
why are they
breaking...
being sued? Because they're not using them, obviously.
Oh,
see what you did there.
But the patent, the guys who filed the lawsuit, pretty much said that they patented the whole users being able to control who they share their content with to individualize their privacy settings, and because Facebook never paid up to use that patent. They're breaking the law by you using privacy settings. Is this thing going to hold up?
Doesn't every website have privacy settings of some kind?
Pretty much. Which begs the question, why? Who are these guys, first of all? This guy is, he was a prominent figure, I think, in the tech industry who owns this company.
Didn't he do Priceline?
Yes, he was the owner of, he started up Priceline.com. Now it's like a Walker something is the company that's suing Facebook, I believe.
Yeah.
But
if it doesn't get thrown out,
Walker Digital.
I don't know what I'm going to do, but it's going to be something insane.
It's the most vague description ever.
He's going to punch a window.
Why is this even in court? I don't know.
I think people just enjoy suing other people.
Isn't that the value of America?
Who doesn't
was
like some
on?
Easy money?
I mean, it is the American way, and it gives people raging boners, but that doesn't mean we should do it.
I beg to differ. A raging boner is worth it.
Well, then just take some fucking Viagra. Don't have to sue people over frivolous things.
Well, it's frivolous because it's such a broad and vague patent. It's like, you know, me patenting the way you tie your shoe. You know, does everybody in the world pay me a royalty because I patented, you know, the technique of tying a shoe?
No,
maybe we should.
The hole, up and around.
The loop de loop. Woo!
Patent the loop de loop. There we go. Can imagine seeing that on legal documents. Company A must pay certain company royalties for the loop de loop usage.
Make a fortune off amusement parks.
You would.
Well, see, the thing, though, about Facebook, going back to it, is they're just, like, the biggest, you know, whatever player in the game, I guess. So everyone wants to go after them for whatever they can. So they're just going to throw anything until something sticks.
It's the same way back when I don't know who it was, but they were suing Apple for multi-touch technologies, just because Apple was the big player, and even though people had been using it for like years before that,
right?
So they're just going after the big boy, try to get their paycheck.
Well, I know somebody that missed out on their paycheck this week, and that was Google with Groupon. They tried bidding $5 to $6 billion in order to acquire Chicago-based startup Groupon, and Groupon pretty much after talks said, no, thank you, we will be independent, take your money and go elsewhere. And Groupon is currently valued at $2 billion.
I don't believe wow. that. I mean, come on.
And that's with 50% off.
It's not. They're theoretically worth $2 billion, but that doesn't mean shit.
Like, but it's not their liquid worth, obviously, you know, but it's their, you know.
Some of that internet money.
But.
I mean, I value myself so on the internet worth $6 billion, but no one's going to fucking buy me.
Which they will. We will.
There's that website where you could do
a for sale.
Yeah, it calculates the value of your life depending on certain statistics, how much you're worth.
Believe I'm it or afraid not. To go there.
Well, it's like I told you on Twitter, I don't think they're worth the $6 million. I mean, okay, they pretty much say, here's a coupon, go use it. I get free coupons all the time for stuff around in the mail, and I throw them away. Who uses coupons that they get online frequently?
Well, but see, the thing about Groupon is you're buying the coupon, so I imagine you're gonna want to use it because you paid money for it.
I'm not gonna fucking pay for a coupon. Coupons are a big fucking hassle. Fuck that shit. No, just no.
Sell us more.
Some people are coming at your house with torches and pitchforks. They're fervent Groupon users.
Bring it. I just
someone's going to come to your house with a coupon for free money at the bank, and you're going to burn it.
I don't want to use coupons. I hate using coupons. Like, I go to the store, and the guy behind the counter, like, doesn't know how to put it in the computer. He's like, I don't know how to do this. I have to call a manager. And I was like, I just want my shit, and I want to get out the door. I don't want to be here.
You want your 29 cents off?
I fucking hate shopping, so anything that gets me out of the door faster, I'm for it, and coupons slow me down.
Shoplifting.
I had a coupon one time that was like $30 off at a Japanese steakhouse, but we didn't read the fine print before we went there, so you had to spend $50 first. So me and my roommate had gotten a bill of like $25 and ended up having to spend $25 more of just buying everything we could to rack the bill up and use our coupon.
That's usually how those coupons work at restaurants.
And that's why I don't use coupons. Well, you end up spending more money than you were going to in the first
place. So much food. I had to buy food for a week.
It's funny that there's a lot of people that are completely lose all sense of common sense when it comes to coupons. Because I remember where I used to work, we would get like coupons for places that didn't even resemble ours or didn't even have the same name. But because the coupon had the same color on it as ours, they wanted to use it and get their $40 off sporting equipment at a restaurant. Yeah,
the only time I'll ever use a coupon is if I'm ordering a pizza.
Okay.
Because I can just tell them over the phone and give them my coupon when they come to the door. Don't have to do anything else.
On the topic of discounts, you know you can get student discounts, which are actually much more useful, even if you're out of college already.
Oh, man.
I am a fan of the student discount. I'm not going to lie.
If you have a student ID from your local community college or university or wherever it is that, you know, your educational institute, a lot of them might not have dates on there. Like, for example, mine just has my picture, the institution, and it doesn't say the year in which I took it in. So both of my IDs, even the revamped ones we have now, neither of them say the dates on there. So whenever I go to Apple or any other store that offers student discounts, I'm able to use my ID and say, you know what, hey, I'm a student. You know, I could have gray hair and I'll still be considered a student, and it'll work.
So I will say I've been using student discounts for colleges since I was 16, because there was a concert at my local college, at the local college in my area. It was a free Real Big Fish concert, but only for alumni. So me and my chemistry teacher at the time, actually was a big fan also, we both went online and found you could sign up to be registered as an alumni without ever having to go to the school, and they resend you your school information.
Awesome. Well, a lot of places even just require a student email address, and which is sort of bizarre because most universities let you keep your email address for life afterwards. I mean, they don't delete it at all. So, I mean, I know Microsoft, you get their Office suite or even a copy of Windows, I think, at a discounted price for students. Then the entire Office suite for, like, you know, $40 just by providing a valid student email on a certain site they have.
Yeah, you can get, like, a year of Amazon Prime with an EDU email address.
Yeah, and you know what? You don't even have to go to college. Another way to get around it is to just simply sign up for a course at your community college, because you have a certain amount of time to drop the course and get your money back into the quarter. So just sign up for a course, go take your student ID if it doesn't have a date on it, drop the course, you know, if you don't want to educate yourself at all, and there you go. You got a student ID and you'll be getting student discounts.
Yeah, that's actually what I did. Like, well, not with the intent to defraud the institution, but there's a community college right over here that I was going to start taking some classes at, and I registered for a couple classes, got got all registered, but then I dropped out of those classes and never actually took more. But I have the fucking ID, so anytime I go to the movies, I'm like, hell yeah, I'm still a student here. I mean,
so
I am a student.
So are you saying you're a community college dropout?
Yes.
I'm okay with that. I don't think anything less of you.
Well, good. Because I didn't think anything of you in the first place.
Good. Glad we're on the same page.
Awesome.
You fucko.
I love you too, Gonzo.
Xbox pushed 2.5 million Xbox Kinect units in the first 25 days of sales.
And those have all been played a collective 4 times.
And on the flip side of the coin, Sony says they pushed 4.1 Sony PlayStation Moves in that same amount of time.
Now, does the Xbox One count bundled into the system like the Move did?
Well, here's the thing. There's so many different ways to look at this because, you know, your Sony Moves, if you think about it, it's not just one thing. You get the bundle with a system, but if you're going to buy it separately, you got to get the webcam, the Sony Eye, for it to work. You got to get the light up dildo, the main Move unit.
In the light up dildo.
And then you got like get the additional, you know, hand strap on thing. You know, if you want to get an additional
strap on.
Yeah.
Always back in dicks.
And then if you want to get another one for another player, you got to get an additional dildo and strap on, in order to make it a 2-player thing. So
yeah. I mean, with a Move, you can use, like, a total of 8 different dildos. We're going to use that as a technical term. So, I mean, if someone's buying, you know, more than one controller, you only need one controller for the Kinect. Well, one camera for the Kinect. But with the Move, you need so many different things with it that you can't really compare the two.
Well, true. And for the 4-point-something million that Sony says it pushed, that's just how many it shipped to retailers. It's not really the 4.1 million. It's not how many they sold, because they don't reveal that information. But still, you know what? Even if they say they sold 4.1 million Move accessories, well, they could have sold, you know, maybe 2 million or 1 million of the PlayStation Eyes, like 2 million or another million dildos and another million strap-ons. And that amounts to just 1 million total bundled units. So
okay, now somebody clarify for me. I'm not really sure. I don't have a PlayStation. But so how does the, like, what do you all need for the Move? It's, you need the camera and then just the controllers? So, or what is?
At very least, the camera and the light-up dildo.
Oh, okay. And how much is that bundle just for, to get one player going, just for the camera and one controller?
I'm pretty sure it's around 120-ish. Because I know I know the dildo alone is around 60 or 70. And the camera's got to be another, like, 50 or 60. So
yeah, I have a feeling that each player needing one has a lot to do with those figures. Because, you know, you only need one Kinect and then everyone in your house can play it. But for the PlayStation Move, you're going to need, you know, at least 2 controllers if you're going to do multiplayer.
Has the Kinect really died out for you, though?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't even touched it. Oh, we played on Thanksgiving just because, you know, there's kids around and that's fun to do. But we haven't even done anything with it really in fucking 2 weeks or so. So I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But as we discussed a few episodes back, the novelty wore off pretty quick in my household.
Well, it comes back to the fact that I don't want to stand up playing video games. I want to sit on my ass.
You lazy bastard. Well, it's
shit.
Just the thing is, the games, they're not that compelling in my experience. Like, it's just, I don't know, I got bored. Maybe that'll come with time.
It's one of those things that you need to let it kind of see where it goes.
You know, the Kinect probably has a personality built into it. So after, like, being inactive for, like, 2 months and you log back on, it's not even going to recognize you. And when it finally, like, recognizes you, it's going to be like, hey, welcome back, asshole.
Yeah, it's been passive aggressive to me. It's like,
oh, you want
to
play?
Oh, you
email?
Yes,
it's gonna send you text messages asking you why you don't play anymore.
Exactly. You turn your Xbox on to play Halo, and it just starts talking. So, why don't you take me anywhere nice tonight?
Why don't you love me anymore?
Is there
another game?
When you do that rapid rivers rafting game, whenever you jump in, it takes a picture of you. It's gonna Photoshop a cock into your mouth or something.
Put you on Facebook. It's connected.
Oh, well. That'd be creepy. Be hilarious, too. But
wow, that's... I've been trying to talk for like 20 minutes, and it's just now starting to work.
Oh, we missed you.
Yeah, I know. No, you didn't.
Sarcasm. All right.
All right, now that we're done with that, staying on the topic of the 360, though, the Xbox 360 is supposedly in talks of getting a TV service integrated into it, which doesn't come as a surprise for many people because, you know, they've been sort of toying around with that for some while. But Google TV, Apple TV, now 360 TV?
That's enough. I don't give a shit. I'm tired of these fancy TVs that plug into shit and do some fancy things. I want to fucking
now. If
break
this is
TV.
Like, if it's like Zune integrated, because I like what they're doing with the Zune as a service. So if it's you know Zune branded, that could be pretty cool. But if it's just like Xbox TV, I don't know.
Well, no. What if it was something that like you have an Xbox and there's an update and you install the update and then boom, there it is. You have free cable, you know, free TV subscription. That would be pretty cool.
Nothing's I don't know how they free. Could subsidize that.
Well, with the purchase of Xbox Live, which would probably get bumped up another $20 a year or something.
$40 a year, $50, $60.
Well, what happens 100. When I break my TV? You're going to tack on another $300 to cover the cost of the Xbox? I mean, what's wrong with the way that it works now? You know, the Xbox exists all on its own. If I get another TV, I don't have to pay more money for another Xbox too. I just hook up the one that I have.
Well, I don't think the idea is that the Xbox is integrated into the TV. I think they mean like the streaming service and stuff is
it's
integrated.
It becomes like
the
a cable
Xbox.
Box almost.
Yeah, so basically your Xbox is, I mean, they're already kind of doing it, turning the Xbox into kind of a media center thing more than just games.
Netflix
and there's like ESPN, I think, on there too.
Well, that was their
but
goal all along.
Add more
well,
channels.
If you have AT&T UVerse, you can do this. You can use your Xbox as a receiver. So you don't have to have
everybody
a receiver
laugh.
And an Xbox.
UVerse.
Hey, don't
anyway,
say that too loud or else my internet will
well,
cut out.
So.
There's another potential sponsor.
UVerse is jealous.
Taking TNT off our list of potential sponsors.
Yeah. God damn.
All right, we're down to U-Porn and Fleshbot. All right, where do we go from here?
U-Jizz. We also got them.
There we go. All right.
U-Jizz? Is that like the not safe for work section of Gizmodo? Or
probably. I don't
Gizmodo?
Know. Gizmodo? I haven't frequented there yet. But what people seem to be overlooking in this whole, you know, Apple TV, Google TV, you know, all this other shitty TV accessories to give you free TV, is that the people with the last laugh are going to be the TV corporations themselves, like NBC Universal, Comcast, Disney, CBS Studios. I mean, there's going to be a time where they're going to say, you know what? Fuck you and your fucking internet. I'm going to make my shows and my TV stations only available either A, to cable subscribers, or B, directly from my website if you're viewing it from a computer. So fuck you on your Google TVs and your Apple TVs and your sex boxes and whatever. That's sort of looming around the corner if you think about it.
It's already happening. I mean, that's what killed Google TV.
That's why I don't give a shit and I don't watch cable. I fucking don't give a shit.
You just killed everything, man. Why would you do that?
I'm an absolute killer. I'm a mean motherfucker. I'll cut you.
All right, let's take a short break right now, and well, everybody except Vito, who I know he wants to review Firefox Beta 4 for Android. So, Vito,
enlighten me.
I subjected myself to a week of using nothing but Firefox 4 Beta for the Android because I wanted to make sure that I was getting the maximum amount of exposure. Now, you guys know that I spend a lot of time on my phone. I browse the internet. I goof off. I'm text messaging a lot. And normally I use Dolphin HD, which I love. But using the Firefox beta was painful, to say the least. It loads up really, really slowly. I mean, a buddy of mine was talking about it. He said, you can touch the icon, walk away, make yourself a sandwich, and come back, and it might be ready for you to use. It's a little bit of an exaggeration, but it's not too far off. It takes forever to load up. When it does load up, if you happen to have tabs open when you closed it, those tabs aren't there anymore. It tells you, hey, this is what you had open before. Would you like to open it again? Why can't you if you can remember where I was, why can't you just leave the fucking tabs open? Come on, guys.
What Android phone are you using?
I'm using a Droid X with Froyo.
Okay, so it's a new Android. Huh.
Yep. It doesn't reformat text. Like, when you zoom in, it doesn't adjust the text so that it fits the screen. You have to swipe back and forth. And for people that use iOS devices, that's what they're used to. Because that was one of the things that I didn't like initially when I got my Android. I was like, oh, this is weird. I don't like how it – but then I got used to it because I don't have to swipe back and forth. I can just scroll up and down. That's great. It makes the text bigger. It's the screen. It's wonderful. But the biggest problem with the fact that it's not reformatting the text and making you slide is also like iOS, it doesn't it doesn't render off of the page very well. So when you have to slide to finish reading a line, you have to wait for that little section that wasn't on the screen. You got to wait for it to reload. Then you have to swipe back to go to the next line. You're going to wait for that section of the page to reload. You swipe through again. It's I wanted to pull out what was left of my hair.
All right. If you had to get a number out of 10, what would you give it?
If this was a release candidate, if this was like the actual 4.0, not with the little beta at the end of it, it would get a 2. And that's only because it does, in fact, connect you to the internet. But because it's a beta, I can understand. You know, they got bugs that got to work out.
Is this a public beta or is it like a limited beta?
It's in the App Store or the the market. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and another thing, I went to submit a bug report because I'm a software tester and I actually enjoy submitting bug reports because it lets me know that I am helping make the software better.
All of our listeners should submit bug reports.
You can't submit a fucking bug report with this. You know why you can't submit a bug report with it? Because they fucking restrict you to 140 characters. How am I supposed to tell you what's fucked up with your shit in 140 characters? I'm not trying to talk to
you.
They don't need your fucking bug report, man.
Like eBay feedback.
I noticed the more angry you get, the more derezzed your connection sounds.
Yes, because I start yelling.
Dr. Robotnik Vito comes out.
Hey, I have
Robotnik Vito versus Robo Steven. That was
yes.
Awesome.
Let's we'll have an auto tune off.
Auto tune the anger. Yeah, if this was a release, I'd give it a to, but because it's beta and I understand that there are going to be issues in a beta, I'd say it's probably closer to a 5 or a 6.
I find it interesting that it takes so long to load. It just shows that Firefox's resource management doesn't really change across platforms. If it's going to take forever to load on a phone, it takes forever to load on a PC. So,
well, they want to keep a consistent user experience.
Exactly.
Well, another thing that I want to point out, I'm using Froyo. I'm not using any custom interface. It's just the stock Froyo. I wasn't using any add-ons because they just like Firefox extensions, they have a bunch of extensions for the mobile version. I did try a couple of them just to see if it would improve the experience at all, because there was one that says that said that it was supposed to increase the text size, and the text size is so tiny. Even on this giant screen, the text is tiny. So I tried that. It didn't work. I tried the one that claimed it would reformat the text so that I wouldn't have to swipe anymore, and that one didn't work. So not only is the browser shitty, but the extensions are just as bad. So don't download it as long as it still says beta.
All right, that's a no-go for Firefox beta for Android. But on the flip side of the coin, we have Bazooka Fox, who wants to review the Atomic browser for iOS. So Bazooka Fox, let's hear your side.
All right, I got the Atomic browser. I was told it was good, and I noticed it for free on the App Store the other day. It's not free anymore. It's 99 cents. But I will say it is worth the download. It's basically everything your iOS Safari browser needs to have. I mean, you know, Safari browser, you have your basic stuff. You can view the web page. You know, you can zoom in, do all that stuff. It's nothing special, but it works. But with the Atomic browser, you have so much more. I mean, you can do private mode for when you, well, you know.
Look at porno.
Yeah, look at porn. It's got a porno mode. You can save the sites to the device. So if you know, you're reading something and you're going somewhere where you're not going to have internet connection or Wi-Fi, you can save it. It's got full screen mode, and it's one of the best things about it is it's got tabs. So instead of, you know, hitting that button on the top of either the iPad or the iPhone, instead of going to that little almost Palm Pre-like view, you can now just select a tab from the top. So it's a lot quicker if you want to open a lot of tabs on a web page. Say you're Wikipedia browsing and you open three articles that you want to read later. You can also open stuff in the background, which is nice. And I think the best thing is it has ad blocker on it.
Oh, yeah.
So that's been much needed. And, you know, it works just as well as the Safari browser. It's got all the multi-touch and everything. And it works on the iPhone, iPad. So if you have 99 cents, go get Atomic browser. It's good.
And it's not a beta.
No, it's not a beta. It is 5 out of 5 in my book.
Very nice. Fantastic. So a green light for Atomic browser for iOS.
Yep.
Cool. I found out that I missed the free while it was free, but it's okay. It's a buck. Whatever.
I will say one thing also is I've been reading their website, and they are looking to add Flash compatibility with it. So
interesting.
That's put it in direct competition with Skyfire.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it's a one-way ticket to getting banned from the App Store, too.
No, you can run third-party code now.
Yeah.
Oh, no shit?
Skyfire can run Flash. It just converts it to HTML.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. While we're at it, I forgot two other things that are kind of big. If you have a 3G iPad or you're using the MyWi on your iPhone or something, and you kind of have a slower connection, you can turn off images so it loads faster. And there's even a video out option.
So, and a dandy. Yeah.
So you could the video out, meaning you could take the display and put it on a separate external display?
Yeah, you can use their iPod connector to VGA and put it on a big TV. So, yeah.
Nice. Cool. All right, so who says we're not biased? We're giving you both an honest iPhone and Android review in one podcast.
I'm biased.
Wait.
I don't give a shit to either one.
Who says we're not biased?
Well, I'm just saying, just in case everybody ever said we're biased.
Me to say this, so. What?
Loser.
All right, so IO9 this week had a little special on disasters, and one of their articles was how to survive a mass extinction. It's a very lengthy article on how to survive a mass extinction, but the major points were to survive a mass extinction, you pretty much live underground, okay? Burrow yourself a city underground and live under there. Pretty much hide for a few hundred or thousand years or so, depending on how big the disaster is. If the atmosphere becomes toxic or if it's a nuclear winter, could take anywhere from just 100 years all the way to a few thousand. Also, start enjoying different varieties of cuisines that live underground, such as bugs, grubs, dirt, worms, things like that.
I'm gonna eat dirt.
Oh, and green algae, by the way.
Delicious.
From the sounds of it, I think I would just rather die.
And last but not
least. So what they're really supposed to be making Soylent Green out of, basically.
So that's an extreme extension. Well, unless you build like an underground city in water, you know, like a bubbled water city, which would be pretty cool.
Atlantis?
Yes, if you built Atlantis.
Or the Gungans.
Pretty sure there's a patent on that.
No.
Fuck the Gungans.
No. Your speaking privileges are on the verge of being revoked, sir. I got my eyes on you.
But
Misa gonna lead humanity to the.
Oh boy!
Oh god!
I would use my sidekick powers to mute you.
But I don't know. What are some? How would you survive? What would you do if there was a mass disaster on Earth, like an asteroid hit and panic ensued?
Die.
Vault 101.
I'd order a pizza. I just watch the world.
I'd be laughing maniacally because it was probably my fault in some way.
Well, if the world's like gonna be destroyed from it, I would probably spend my last couple hours, you know, mercilessly hitting on every woman I see.
Don't lie. Yeah. If you do the exact same thing that every other single man would do, you'd be fucking masturbating in the corner.
No matter where you were. Hey, the world may be ending tomorrow, baby, but that still leaves us all night long.
I gotta say, though, Benguin, you are definitely never going to be a general or any sort of captain in my minion army. What would you do? Die. Way to give up, asshole.
I'm going to roll over and die. I'm just going to scratch my nuts and pass away into oblivion.
Yeah, just fighting is too hard.
Too much effort.
Can't we just take a nap?
And I thought I was a lazy fuck.
At least Gonzo would order a pizza. He'd actually pick up the phone.
Apparently, yeah, I give less of a shit than Gonzo.
Me and Gonzo will be eating pizza, drinking beer while you're just dying.
Your algae pizzas.
At least turn it into a party.
End of the world.
Yeah, Benguin's going to be on the stairs playing his guitar.
Yeah, there
we go. Rocking out.
A sad song. I gotta play Freebird one more time.
Quick, man, fit another Dylan song in there.
Probably some song about death. Damn morbid bastard.
We play a Dashboard Confessional.
Oh god. At that point, I hope I'm murdered by the rioting crowds.
Well, it won't be hard because you'll just roll over and die.
Crowd will be coming for you.
The crowd will get pissed off even more because of the lack of effort you gave.
Fuck make my job easier. Die.
You know what's funny? There was actually an episode of a show that's on crack.com called After Hours, and they actually had a discussion about this exact thing, what they do in different apocalypse situations, and one of them actually mentioned if an asteroid was going to hit the world and everything was going to end, and he came to the same conclusion that he would just hit on chicks the whole time. But he actually had a very, you know, good thing because, you know, it's sex is the last way to make a human connection. Then he made a point of, you know, it's like maybe even make a connection with someone in the butt, you know, but I don't know.
butt
sex. Did I kill it? Yeah.
All right, well, we got dildo, penis, strap-on, and ass rape jokes. All right.
It's the ass-pocalypse, man.
We're supposed to be professional. We have a website now.
Yes.
See, yeah. this is why we don't let the dregs in here.
Are you calling me a dreg?
You've been on here how many times, Vito?
Yep.
Almost every week?
I'm wearing a suit right now, so I'm trying to keep it classy.
It's not Fancy Friday. Take that shit off.
Because podcasts are a very visual medium.
It better be a 5-man birthday suit, mind you.
Is it felt?
He's not telling you. It's a bunny suit. That's what it is.
But skin. All skin.
Fucking bunny suit.
I want a bunny suit.
Well, also in the topic of death, unfortunately, Irvin Kershner, the director of Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back, passed away this week. At the age of 87, he was the person that probably directed the best Star Wars movie out there because he gave George Lucas the middle finger and said, fuck you, I'm doing this how a movie's supposed to be done.
And I appreciated it.
And you just do the little crazy little background effects and crazy space shit in the background. I'll deal with everything else. So.
Yep, Empire is still my favorite movie of all time.
And I believe Empire had its anniversary, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. That's why they came out with the R2-D2 droid.
Ah. So, yes, a moment of silence for Mr. Kershner. He will be missed, and he was greatly appreciated.
We actually made it.
Yes, we had 5 seconds of no penis jokes, no anything, just silence.
Just goes to show you how awesome that movie was.
Which yes. Makes for awesome audio, by the way.
But, no, I mean, Empire Strikes Back, if you think about it, it is the best hailed Star Wars movie of all.
Yeah, it's definitely my favorite.
Indeed. Thank you again, Mr. Kershner.
Rest in peace, sir. Live long and prosper. Wait, no.
Speaking of which, wrong
franchise.
Well, in that franchise, they just finalized a story for the next movie in that franchise, by the way. So,
I'm excited. In the pants region.
Yes. It's interesting if anybody's a Star Trek nerd out there, they'll note that Rick Berman has nothing to do with this movie either. Thank God. So, Rick Berman sort of took Gene Roddenberry's vision, took a shit on it, and then corpse fucked it into the Garden of Hell. But okay,
basically what Joel Schumacher did to Batman.
Yes,
that's but Batman that's always sucks.
So are you saying that you didn't like the first movie?
Oh, you,
like,
no, no,
the
I mean,
last movie.
No, no, saying? I did. That's what I'm saying. Rick Berman wasn't involved in that one or this one. That's why I said he's not involved again.
Oh, okay.
So, no, it's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, the last one was amazing. I loved it. I'm not even a Star Trek fan, and I thought it was amazing.
And what's nice about it is it's the same writers. It's Kurtzman and Orci, and it's the same director as well, J.J. Abrams. So there will be consistency between the two movies.
It's good to hear.
Yay! So, that's our little geeked-out nerd for the two sci-fi franchises this week.
You mean for 9 episodes?
For 9 episodes. But I sort of didn't want to touch upon this, but it's a big issue. We sort of had to talk about it. Oh, boy. WikiLeaks.
Uh-oh.
Excuse me while I tune out now.
Yeah.
WikiLeaks. You know what I think about WikiLeaks? People just need to quit giving a fuck. I don't give a fuck. It hasn't affected me one bit. I'm still
take
here kicking, drinking beer, smoking cigarettes, doing a podcast.
The Tao of Gonzo.
All right, just go ahead and take your fuck and don't give it to anyone.
Although I have to say, I did like the article where it came out where they said the guy wasn't actually accused of rape, but sex by surprise. Like, is that not the coolest crime ever?
Sex
I charge
surprise.
You with sex by surprise.
Sweet.
Happy birthday.
Well, I believe that's a term of it in Sweden when you have sex without a condom, even though you're told to wear a condom.
Surprise.
How is that a surprise, though? How does she not notice that the Wang is not wrapped?
Well, maybe it was really dark, and she just asked, and he said yes.
Or he pulled out the Alka-Seltzer and like ripped it open. Like, yeah, it's a condom. Don't worry about it. We're all good.
He ruffled a Sun Chips bag.
Well, he's not trying to make her go deaf. Come on.
But
bottom line is, just do what white noise does and just fuck people in the ear. There's no law against that.
Well, I think he's running away from like I think $1,000 fine, and that's about it.
Yeah, maybe he's poor. I'm poor. I don't have $1,000 fine to pay. I couldn't do it.
Well, if he's able to afford, you know, Amazon cloud service for it, or was able to afford Amazon cloud service for his you know website, pretty sure he's just gone back there and been, here's your $1,000 and like, go fuck yourselves. Go surprise sex yourselves. But so yeah, I don't know. WikiLeaks, it's one of those subjects where you're on either sides of the fence. On one viewpoint is, you know, yay, you know, we're sticking it to the man by revealing information that's to show that there are secrets and all this other bullshit. And on the other side of the fence is, well, these secrets are there for a reason, and it's to protect public interests, and you know, they're secret for a reason. And it's not.
And then there's me in the third dimension, not giving a shit.
Yeah, there's a third. There's a third, which is not giving a fuck.
So you're on one of those three positions. I think we've established that Gonzo's on the third one.
Good. I want to make sure people know.
But Google can let you beatbox now. Did you know?
I did try that, and it's pretty fun.
If you go to Google Translate, put the initial language to German and the translation language to German, and you start typing in like vowelless gibberish, like bzzk. Yep, and that's pretty much what Google Translate does. It has a female voice that beatboxes for you. Give it a try.
Or you can hire me for your bar mitzvahs.
Maybe you guys can do a duet.
I'd be down with that.
I think I got it to work for one other language. I can't remember. I think it was Spanish or French. I think it was French, but it didn't sound as awesome.
Because what's more awesome than German?
Yeah, you're asking French to be as awesome as German? Come on.
Well, it's also cool that, you know, Germany, techno music, you know, beatboxing, Google Translator. It all fits in.
Fun.
It's a master plan I play.
Yeah.
Speaking of Google, you could also Google yourself and probably find out that you were accused of murder.
That was an awesome story.
Yes, in fact, you can. this one college student did a Google search on his name, and turns out there was an article, or there was information about him having being charged for murder, and he never killed anybody in his life.
Maybe he should have. Then it would have been accurate.
He would have gotten away with it, right? Isn't that double jeopardy?
I think so.
Track down the person he was supposed to kill and kill them?
Well, he was never prosecuted for it. I'm a Debbie Downer.
Just shut up.
Thanks for ruining our flights of fantasy.
No fun. This is the internet we're talking about.
Super serious.
Yes. All the time.
I've actually got a story kind of like that. It's, over the summer, they you know how Adrian Chen over at Gawker was doing the thing with 4chan and all those stories about it?
Oh, God.
So we can have a 4chan listener. They got to fuck you.
They're going to DDoS whitenoisepodcast.com.
Yeah. And
sorry, Ron.
There was a lot of commenters and everything, myself included, that got real involved in it. And at one point, I actually found, you know, like their Party Van Wiki and all this other stuff that they've got. And feel free to censor that if you want, Steven, so we don't get, you know, I don't know. But,
Shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I doubt 4chan's an avid listener of this podcast. And
yeah. You never know. But basically, someone on 4chan saw the comments that I had made and a couple other commenters had made, because we started like live blogging the private 4chan chats and what they wanted to do to Adrian and all this stuff. They wanted to like try to call and make it seem like he was like inviting a hooker over to the Gawker headquarters, some weird shit like that. But I was doing a Google search later. I just sometimes do that because I'm narcissistic and yeah, and it came up that they had found my info off my website and posted it on their wiki and a couple other things, and they put me on a 4chan hit list.
Cool.
Yeah, but you know what's funny? No one gave a shit. There were like 15 names on that. I only got one phone call, and the guy was like, he did it. It was like, he sounded like his balls hadn't dropped yet, which I guess is 99% of the 4chan crowd. And he was real half-assed about it, and it was the worst trolling ever. And I actually posted his number on both White Noise and Crosstalk at Gawker to see. And I think other people called him, so it was kind of funny. So
I wish I got phone calls like that. That made me feel important.
Yeah, it did for about 5 minutes. And the real joke is on them because they pulled the info from my resume on my site. That wasn't even my updated address. So they none of the stuff is even. If they did anything to me, it wasn't even going to me. So, teehee.
Well, they're listening to this right now, and sorry to say, but they're coming after you again with vengeance.
Yeah. I still haven't updated the address, so fuck them.
But speaking of Gawker, though, they made an announcement. Nick Denton, the owner, head honcho, whatever you want to call him, of Gawker Media, made a post network-wide the other day announcing changes coming to all the Gawker network site layouts. For those of you who hadn't checked out beta.gizmodo.com,
the iPad jack-off website, yeah.
Or any
beta.anygawkernetworksite.com, which has been... This has been in development for the last year. It's taken a year to develop this. And pretty much what they're doing is they're trying to focus it more on a... less of a bloggy format and more of a content media-focused format. So
more like it looks like shit format.
It looks so terrible.
They're denying it now, but back when they first unveiled it, it was right around when the iPad was coming out. They said that the update was to look better on the iPad. That's what they fucking said, and you can't find that now, but that's what they said originally.
Well, it
looks like shit.
It does look like shit, yeah.
The iPad. Most people are going to be going to this on their computers.
Exactly.
You need to look good on a computer. If you reformat on for the iPad, that's fine. But you need to have a dedicated look for the computer if you choose to make it look good for the iPad. Because this looks like straight-up shit. I got a 24-inch monitor, and it's going like right down the middle. I got all this empty space over here, and it's fucking... It looks like... I want to punch something.
The one thing I do like about it is that... The transitions are real smooth. That's the only thing. I mean, it's like there's no page break or anything like that. It just kind of fades into the article, which is kind of cool. But it's an ugly piece of crap.
Are they gonna kill off the tag pages too? Because there's no links to them on the.
I noticed that.
Pages. Dun dun dun. Are they just trying to kill off all the community vibe?
Yeah, well, exactly.
Sites have.
Well,
the White Noise podcast will live on.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I don't think they're going to be killing off White Noise, or I think they're going to be keeping the popular hashtag pages around. But don't expect you to be, you know, typing in to Gizmodo, you know, pound sign, you know, fucky fucky sexy poo, and that'll be a new hashtag, you know.
Oh, one tag post.
So I think they're gonna have the tags limited, because even if you go to a new article right now, there's only one tag there. For the article over the image, but they'll probably keep some of the big ones, and it's still in beta. There's still a lot of quirks and bugs. I mean, every day something new is broken, but to be honest with you, I don't think that they really rely on the community that much to make it community focused.
Yeah, but it really like I go there not just to read the articles, but to, you know, chat with other people and find their opinions and views and more things that I can not give a shit about.
No, I understand right. that's how we all went there and stuff like that. But that's not what their business model is. I mean, their They're a news media agency.
And they don't have anyone to go there if they say fuck you to the users and say you can't commune here.
Well, when the sites first launched back in the day, there wasn't any user commenting system. There wasn't any, like Kotaku, for the first year, there was no comments. And then afterwards, they opened it up only invite only. And yeah. they were growing even without a commenting or user-based system. Mm-hmm. So,
Just things evolve over time. I mean, iPhone's a great example of that, too. I mean, it seemed like the App Store was, or the whole application thing was just thrown in, and now it's the cash cow of the whole fucking company now.
Well, I mean, if anything,
I'm going to be the asshole here. This is going to fail. I'm going to hope
so
that
too.
It fails.
Because
you say that they're not about the community. They're content-driven. They don't fucking create anything. They regurgitate shit from everybody else.
They steal it, yeah, from other sites.
Even their original content is just copy and pasted with permission from some other article. I can't remember the last – or an occasional rant about some shit that pisses them off.
Or some kind of review/love letter journal entry. The iPad defies reviewing.
I think the only thing that Gizmodo creates, like, originally is the Giz Explains. Like, those are probably the only original, well-written articles they still host, as far as I
know. And those are good. I like those.
Yeah.
But most of the shit, like the steampunk, an actual steam-powered steampunk record player, this is... What is this?
It's just aggregating. And I understand there's something to aggregating.
But now when it's 99.9% of your content.
Yeah, but here's the thing. That's more or less what blog journalism is. And, well,
no doubt. Most
blog journalism is, you know, it's doing your own take on news. And the reason they're doing this laid out is a while back, Nick Denton had said, Being the best in blogging is like being the coolest kid on the playground. Nobody gives a shit about you. So he's the reason why they're trying to move away from the whole look and feel of it now is not only because it's going to be more content based. Your big stories will get more attention. Your advertisers will want to support you more. But pretty much he's sort of hinting at that. You know what? I actually want to do news, breaking news. I want to do shit that isn't just regurgitated from the other corners.
Not if Joel Johnson or Jesus Diaz has anything to do with it.
Well, it doesn't matter who they're employees of the network, and they will do what Nick Denton says. I mean, he lays down the law there. So if Nick Denton says to them, you know, if I don't want to hear any more of the Giz Explains post, they're not going to do it anymore, or whatever it is that they're going to be doing. So it's interesting to see if over the next year how it will evolve, but I will guarantee you this, that the layout that they've been working on, you will see a lot of the ideas and themes get incorporated to other sites internet-wide. So,
yeah, I can see that, though. But, yeah, Joel Johnson's going to be like, what? I can't tell users to fuck themselves anymore?
No. Yeah. I don't think so. I'm sorry. I know you'll miss that. But
fuck you, Joel.
No. No.
No.
No. We're done.
We're done. Okay. Enough of that. Ben Glenn.
Sorry about that. I kind of got...
Sir.
Tune back in. It's your turn to take the mic. Ben Glenn's going to tell us all about Crank with a Q.
Yes. We're not talking about illicit drugs here.
And a K.
All right. Okay. Thank you. I have a question for you guys. Do you like trivia?
No.
Yes.
Never mind.
I love trivia.
Someone loves trivia. All right.
Review over.
Now, do you like current events?
Yes.
Yes, I love current events.
Do you like trash talking your friends?
It's like he knows.
Yeah.
Well,
it's like you're in my head.
Yeah. Yes, and you should be ashamed of the things you're thinking about. But I have a perfect app for you fine folks this week. It is called Crank for iPhone. It is a daily trivia game where new questions are posted every day at midnight, or if you're on the West Coast like me, 9 p.m. So every day you got a new batch of questions, and you play like Jeopardy, kind of like that, and you can see local leaderboards, statewide, nationwide, see how you compare. You can find your friends on Facebook, or your contacts, whatever, compete against them, see how they're doing. If they've already played for the day, you can kind of see what questions they got right as you're playing along, so you can see as it's going along. So that's pretty neat. Not too much to explain about it. It's pretty much just a basic trivia game, but it is a lot of fun. The one downside, pretty much you can only play once a day, but it, I don't know, it keeps it from burning yourself out. So it's available for iPhone, completely free. And luckily for you folks that don't have iPhones, you can play it on Facebook, so you can join in on the fun too. So give it a chance. You can go to, I believe the website is crankthegame.com, Q-R-A-N-K, the game. Huh. Yeah, the link will be in
you
our show
You made fun
notes,
of me
so.
For spelling it out too.
Yeah, well, whatever.
I will be kicking everyone's ass at that game.
I just downloaded it. I'm seeing where it takes me.
And go ahead, everybody, they can add me on there. My username is Savage Boredom. So let's see how we do and if you can beat me because I'm not really very good, to be honest.
Kick your ass. But,
yeah, it should be cool.
How is boredom savage? How can it be savage?
It just is.
It's ironic because he's a hipster.
Hey,
like, when I think of savage, it's like, blah, savage.
Well, it's like being very apathetic about things and
not giving
so
anger.
Apathetic, you have no idea.
Yes, angrily apathetic.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah, Crank for iPhone and Facebook. Go get it.
I'm excited in the pants.
You should be.
I'm getting it right now.
Add Bazooka Fox also, because I'll be on there.
So excited that I'm going to implant a camera in the back of my skull.
Fuck yeah.
That was the worst segue I've ever seen, man.
You can't see a segue. You could hear it.
But you can see it if you have a camera in the back of your head.
Ah.
Oh. Hey, see, I just helped you.
Yeah.
So, yes, a guy got a camera installed in the back of his head. So.
What a weirdo.
Move things along.
But, why was he doing this again? This guy surgically implanted a camera in the back of his head.
He's an NYU professor, I believe.
Yeah. And why did he do it again?
Proof of concept, I guess.
His head is very sore right now from surgery. Not? He'll start snapping pictures of his life at 1 minute intervals.
Wow. Where are they being stored? Like, is some kind of hard drive attached to his hip or what?
You don't want to know.
Oh.
Maybe it transmits wirelessly to his iPhone.
Does that make him a cyborg?
Yes.
Oh. No.
You're a cyborg when you have like a robotic arm and you can like lift a car and stuff. Then you're a fucking cyborg. But people who get like those little implants that allow them to like open doors without touching, they're like, fuck you. You're not a cyborg.
Okay. Somebody just posted this in the topic list. The Droid 2, the Motorola Droid 2, draws blood, allegedly explodes against a man's ear.
That was me.
That was you, and...
You will die. I'm trying to help you out.
I am not surprised because this phone gets hot for no reason very, very fast. Like, I could just have it. I could, like, do my thing in the morning, check my emails and stuff like that, and then I'll leave it down. I'll turn the screen off and just leave it to the side, and I'll go back an hour later, and the thing will still be hot, and my battery will be at, like, 20%. I don't know what's going on with this thing.
I'm trying to look out for it. I don't want you to lose your ear.
Thank you, Gonzo. Thank you. I appreciate it, and... I thought I was alone. I was like, oh, you know, Android phones, they use a lot of battery power, things get hot. No. This bitch, I could scald myself if I'm not careful.
This bitch will kill you.
It is. So, yeah.
So be on the lookout, you Droid 2 users.
Stay on your toes.
And also the PlayStation phone was, the videos were shown today of it. Which,
snore.
Yeah.
They were so shitty. Did you watch the videos?
I saw the videos. It had no sound.
Wait, what's the problem with it?
They were better than I thought they were going to be, but they're still, the form factor is just kind of weird.
You know what the
it's
problem is?
It's huge.
The only thing is between the PlayStation phone and the PSP 2 or the hell they're coming out with.
The Go.
The Go is already out, but the new one, the PSP, the PSP 2 that they have been leaked, it's the same fucking thing, except one has Android with a PlayStation button on it.
What is the problem you think with the PlayStation phone? Because I thought it was kind of cool.
Like, I think the problem is that it's with Microsoft and its Windows Phone 7, you have all the gaming functionality and stuff already integrated. The software the software was built around the whole Xbox experience. You know, it was already integrated into it. Whereas this, where I was watching it, it's a PSP Go with a PlayStation Network button on it.
That's yeah, awesome. But would you rather Sony create its own new OS, which requires new apps, new developers, another couple months of developing?
Oh, because that takes actual work, and Sony can't have that.
OS that we know works, that we know has a decent marketplace, that
they can store their
proprietary app on, and we have a game console that's portable.
Well, here's what they already have. That it's called their Timescape and whatever UI that they have for Android, which it's a really nice UI, actually. Everything flows. It's a very integrated and smooth UI if they would just, you know, update it frequently. So, you know, it's not stuck on Android 1.6 still. But if they all they had to do was literally just integrate that into the system. There's no point to just having vanilla Android and then having a PlayStation button. Maybe they won't. I don't know. But it seems like it's going to be a little bit of overkill to have two devices that are almost identical, with one being Android-based and the other one being PlayStation software-based.
This is Sony.
I would rather buy the Android-based one.
Exactly. And I don't know. I think it's mind-boggling how they're doing two different products that are identical, but their software behind it is completely different. Bizarre.
Biggest problem with that video? Didn't actually show it playing any games.
I think there was a button for a game on there, a demo.
There was a button, but I didn't see anyone play a game, so...
No one pressed that button.
No, he pressed it, and then the app opened, and it's like, there are no games here. And then he clicked out, and the video ended.
Well, it was running Gingerbread on it. It was running Android 2.3, which... it's got some nice little UI tweaks, but yeah.
The problem is, by the time 4.3 comes out, they're still going to be on Gingerbread.
Yes, because that's how Sony does it. But
haters going to hate.
Oh well, I used to be a Sony Ericsson fanboy big time. But
welcome back to reality, man.
He had the cap and the jacket and everything.
Right before the acquisition, before Sony and Ericsson merged, I was an Ericsson fanboy. And up until the iPhone 3G came out, all I had was Sony Ericsson phones. But they sort of fucked it up somewhere between 2001 and 2004. But that's me. Sorry, Sony Ericsson fanboys.
All right, we literally just lost our base. We have no fans.
The last three viewers we had.
Yes.
And oh, well. Let's put it all along, too. This is Ericsson we're talking about.
Well, lastly about magazines, new iPad magazine from Richard Branson's out called The Something. I don't know what it's called.
That one.
It's got Jeff Bridges on the cover. So yeah,
that's it. What is it called? The Juice, The Vibe, the Scope. I don't know.
The Something would actually be a pretty great name for a magazine. I'd read it.
We should create our own magazine and call it something like that. But I know Warren Buffett, he's coming out with a magazine called The Daily for the iPad. Ah, Project.
You mean what's his face on Fox, Rupert Murdoch?
No.
Whatever, the old guy, the rich old guy.
There's a couple of rich old guys in the world, man.
The one that's really fucking old and rich.
Oh, wait a minute.
He owns news.
Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah, him. That's Rupert Murdoch.
Whatever. Fucking old
Warren
guys.
Warren Buffett, you fucking sue? Okay.
Shut up.
He's old and rich.
He's old and rich. Come on. They look alike, too.
They both have the old quality to them.
They're both white, have white hair, and wear glasses, and are wrinkly, and have saggy jawlines.
That's all you need to know.
That qualifies them as being looking like old.
Yes.
Like old. Not actually old, just like old.
Yes. But yeah,
where were we?
The Daily should be coming out from Rupert Murdoch, and the project is already out from Richard Branson. Did you guys see the interview that Richard Branson gave with Engadget, by the way?
No, but I'm sure it was insane.
No, it actually was Nilay Patel. He did an interview, a one-on-one. They video recorded and stuff. And it's really funny because Richard Branson had no fucking idea anything about anything.
Like, why would he? He doesn't have to know anything.
And Neil Patel's asking him, like, you know, why did you make this magazine just for the iPad? Why not bring it to the web as well? And he goes, it's a good question. I don't know. Like, wow.
Yeah, he doesn't know shit about shit. He doesn't have to.
Yeah, he even said he's not the most technologically savvy person. He's like, I have no fucking idea about any of this shit. I just gave people money and...
Well, yeah. Well, they shouldn't be putting, like, that he's coming out with the magazine. They should be talking about, oh, okay, Virgin, whatever, you know, part of Virgin Group is debuting a magazine. Don't put his fucking name as the creator when he had nothing to do with it.
But his name sells.
Yeah,
good point.
Come on.
I mean, the guy crossed the English Channel in a car.
What?
Wait, what?
Did you hear about that? When they had the first car that turns into a boat, and he took it across the channel in like record-breaking time.
Where were you? Probably not boring yet. How long ago was this?
Not very long ago, like a couple years ago.
Really?
Yeah,
you're right. Mike wasn't born then.
Yeah,
and he also likes to go parasailing with hot models clinging to his back while
in the nude.
Yeah, which is a funny foot because his wife is on the shore watching all this.
He's got money. He has so much money, he doesn't care.
He's got hot model tits pressed up in his back. Who gives a shit where his wife is?
But speaking of hot model tits, you get every issue of Playboy from 1953 to 2010 on a single hard drive.
I got a hard drive for you.
I'll drive it hard. How about that?
That's kind of like a deal that National Geographic has. You can buy every issue ever on a bunch of DVDs or like a big hard drive, yeah.
But if you're into the vintage porn...
I would probably just wipe the hard drive and put my own porn on it.
If you, well, I 1967, the April edition is probably one of my favorites.
For the articles, though, right?
Yes, of course.
The hard drive is like masturbating. Well,
there's some fucking good articles in that. I know you're gonna make fun of me, but
hey, no, I would get that hard drive just for the vintage Bush that I would be able to see.
And the
Playboy used to be an actual classy magazine, like it was a magazine for the classy men, but now it's kind of gone more or less towards just the fucking sweet pinup models.
Yeah, once women started shaving their pubes, it all went to hell.
But I agree.
You don't even have to shave your pubes. Playboy will fucking airbrush them off for you.
All I'm saying...
It's an art magazine now, because there's just pictures that used to be women, but now they're just fucking paint.
So pretty much what you're saying is you get...
Huge bush and shoulder pads.
I could put Colonel Sanders in there for a photo shoot, and he's going to come out looking like the most amazing big-titted hot babe ever.
Essentially, yeah.
He would. They had a thing.
Spread this chicken. That could be the headline.
Shut up. There was a thing for Christie's Auction House a while back. They were selling a bunch of the proofs from previous Playboy shoots, the ones with all the annotations for the airbrushers. And some of the women that you would consider like the most gorgeous women on the planet, like the Playmate of the Year type chicks, had so many annotations you could barely even see the picture. Like, she's got fuzz on her chest. Get rid of that. Her nipples are too perky.
No such thing.
Stupid shit.
Exactly. There's no such thing.
It's funny because I was actually thinking about something similar when I was watching the news earlier. And the news, it wasn't a channel that I normally watch because on Channel 7 there's, like, college football going on right now. So the weather reporter comes out and... Well, ever since HD, shit has changed when it comes to makeup. So her eyes were, like, sparkling, and her skin just seemed like it was painted on. Like, her face wasn't even real. It was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. It's just, I wanted to reach into the screen and sort of, like, I could scrape a few inches of makeup off her face.
Gross.
But that's how they all look now. Even the guys, the same thing. They look like their skin is made of plastic. So... Anyway, Let's wrap this bitch up, shall we?
Sure, let's put it to bed.
Okay.
Can we kiss it goodnight?
No.
This podcast kind of like my baby.
Who wants to give it a lullaby?
Bad touch. Bad touch.
No lullabies?
I'm disappointed in all of you.
Okay.
Terrible podcast fathers.
Yes. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us tonight on this podcast, episode 9. We are looking forward to episode 10 next week, our anniversary podcast. Yay. As usual, you can find us at thewhitenoisepodcast.com where you can download links or iTunes and all that other bullshit. If you want to follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/noisecast. And last but not least, if you have a Facebook, obviously the White Noise Podcast on Facebook. And if we would appreciate any feedback you have for us. If you have any
not audio feedback.
Well, whatever. Whatever comments, questions, inquiries. In order to move on from episode 10, we would like to know where we stand amongst you, the listeners, and we think that your feedback is very important. So you could either tweet us or you could send us an email at wallet.pizza@gmail.com. Send us whatever feedback you want to. Don't worry, you won't be shouted out or anything like that. But
don't be too mean. I'm sensitive.
Please, we're fragile.
Any honest feedback you give, any suggestions, people you like, people you don't like, if you think certain people are pricks, certain people should not be in the podcast, then let us know. We look forward to your feedback to improving this podcast and taking it further another 10 episodes. So, on that note, thank you everybody for coming. Tonight we had Mike Zuniga.
Oh, now, forever. Farewell, yeah. The tranquil mind.
Okay. Anyway.
Farewell, content.
Veto number 9.
It's finally over.
Yes. Gonzo, who's hopefully is not raping our ears with his noisy death ray.
Awesome feedback.
There it is.
It's back.
Unmute yourself again, man. Mute it again.
It's hot. Yeah. It's following him. Benguin with his trusty reviews.
I love you all. Never change.
And last but not least, Bazooka Fox.
I still couldn't find a good quote, so see ya.
Okay. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us tonight. And tune in next week, same time, same place, the White Noise Podcast. White Noise. Skin and skin.